This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Macander, International Relations. Moscow, point of view. One, Moscow is calling off the offensive, it is said. Two, Moscow is asking for new mobilization, 400,000 more, it is said. Three, Moscow is distributing some of its nuclear arsenal to Belarus, headed by the dictator Lukashenko, it is said. And four, right now, it is very unclear about Moscow's plans for the immediate future. The harvest is going to be poor. That is a combination of not having enough people in at the farms because they've been drafted, and also the difficulties of transporting the grain and the wheat and the really good wheat that people eat out of the combat zone. That's enough, Professor. Moscow suddenly, 24 hours after the week of news in the West of bank crisis, Moscow looks to have made major decisions. Their point of view at this moment, to your measure.
Well, I think that they have essentially decided, on the one hand, to avoid doing anything that's going to lose hundreds of thousands of more dead Russians. I think that this idea that they're going to mobilize another 400,000 people that's very remote. That's not going to happen because they have no way of arming those people. And the Ukrainians are very kind of, they're not impulsive. They'll just let the people come and then they'll do them in. I think also that the Russians are very realistic about their financial situation and their economy is being destroyed by sanctions. Although this destruction is not bringing us any closer to a termination of the war. So caution on one side, not really trying a big offensive, which will fail, but on the other hand, an increasing attempt to just to scare the Western countries. And the way you scare them is by talking about nuclear weapons. And remember, of course, that if the U.S. can be said to have had a goal or in our intervention in this war, it was to prevent World War III, in other words, prevent escalation, to prevent nuclear exchange. So we signaled that we're really scared by that. So Mr. Medvedev, who I remember as being a bright reformer, was building the new Russia with Mr. Putin, he has given a very menacing I guess it's an interview, or maybe it's a talk, in which he says that the Russians will be forced to use nuclear weapons if someone tries to tries to arrest Putin. And it's interesting that the country he talked about attacking with nuclear weapons was Germany, which is, of course, has no idea yet what its strategy is, but I'm sure that the idea that Berlin will be chosen out of the many possible targets in Western Europe for nuclear punishment, if the Germans should be so unwise as to try to arrest Mr. Putin, that's going to cause the Germans to be very upset. And he also said that if Crimea came. Would look like it was going to be conquered, then they would use nuclear weapons. But if they use nuclear weapons against Ukraine, they're really, first of all, there's no certainty at all that this will succeed in terminating the war. But Ukraine is so near to Russia that if they use nuclear weapons, they're in effect bombing themselves. And Ukraine is, remember, Ukraine is the second biggest country in Europe. I mean, it's substantially larger than France. And you ask yourself, well, would one nuclear bomb cause the French to surrender? Well, I'm not sure, but I think it might not. And of course, the French have the capacity to strike back with nuclear weapons. The Russians have the advantage in dealing with Ukraine that we, in 1993-1994, forced. We have this slightly strange idea, but it's a philosophy that's pervasive, called non-proliferation, which says that if you want to avoid nuclear war, be sure that only the United States has nuclear weapons, and then we agree that we'll go into a nuclear war to defend anybody who doesn't have them. And you can see the problems with that. I really can't envision Mr. Biden firing a nuclear weapon or any number of presidents. It's very, very it's very, very tricky. And if I were a foreign country, I certainly would not put my faith in the Americans doing that. So the Russians, on the one hand, are trying to work psychology, and I think they have a belief that if they can just hold on, that the Americans will finally talk themselves into surrendering. But that, in turn, has a lot of problems, and we'll get to that when we land in D.C.
I think that is not incredible, Professor. Do you agree that the Americans will turn away?
Oh, I think it's quite likely. I worry about it because I believe I'm not a mad interventionist. And I believe that our interventions should be approved by Congress as they were for the very last time in 1941. I think that this power, which gives essentially the White House press secretary the authority to, you know, launch airstrikes or something, this is way, way out of control and has no legal basis. But it does mean that you don't have a clear political mandate for what you do unless you go to Congress. And what we're starting to see now in America is politicization of this war, and as was the case in Vietnam, it's based on really no information. What happens is we're a very big country. I mean, we've got almost, not 10, but maybe 7 times the population of Ukraine, and it, as happened in Vietnam, United States politics just engulf whatever's happening on the ground in the country in question. And American political factors then drive our decisions, and that leads us to very bad outcomes.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. We're headed to Kyiv, the camp that is absorbing this news about mobilization, about calling off the offensive, about nuclear weapons to Belarus, and about the harvest. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.